Welcome to the Runners Who Wine podcast. I'm your co-host, Nicole, a certified personal trainer, runner, and self-proclaimed wine connoisseur. And with me is the always amazing Anne-Marie. She's a DVRT master instructor, fellow runner, and wine lover. This podcast is your jam if you're looking for authentic, unfiltered product reviews, information on all things running, and real talk regarding everything that fuels our runs, including a big old glass of wine. So pour yourself a glass and let's get started. Welcome to episode 2 of the Runners Who Wine podcast. Hi, Anne-Marie.
Hi, Nicole.
How's it going today?
It is going lovely, also because I have a glass of wine, a bottle of wine, actually.
What are you drinking today?
Per usual. Okay, so it took me a minute to figure out how to pronounce this, but it's called Rakkes. It looks like Rachie, like you would pronounce it Rachie's, but it's called Rakkes, and it's a Sauvignon Blanc. But apparently, Rakkes is the biological term used to describe the stem of a grape. In its own unconventional way, the winemakers think it can be quite a beautiful thing, which is why they named the wine Rakkes.
Interesting.
Yes.
Love that little background, a little bit of knowledge on wine.
Yeah, right? I'm educating you on wine and running. What about you?
I have a Malbec. It's called Decenio. It's from Argentina, 2015. And it has a little bit of a lengthy description, but I'm going to read it anyway.
Please do.
It says, Malbec has thrived in Argentina since the 1800s when cuttings were transplanted from their original home in France. Now considered among the world's most distinguished red wines, Malbec flourishes in Mendoza, Argentina's most highly respected anyway, they supply Decenio Malbec from old growth vineyards in Mendoza. Vines grow in fertile soil, rich with old mineral deposits, irrigated by heavy winter snowmelt from the Andes glaciers. Sounds very in-depth.
That does sound very, it sounds very rich. It sounds rich.
Yeah, it says it's a rich wine, actually, with an inviting bouquet of stone fruit. A hint of coffee complements the blueberry spice and chocolate flavors.
Oh my goodness, those are like three of my favorite things. Blueberries, chocolate, and what was coffee? Yes.
Coffee, yeah.
Okay. Yummy.
Well, I will take a picture of this label and put it in the show notes. So if anybody wants to try Decenio Malbec, they can find it. It has a very very clean label with a little seal on it. It looks legit.
Oh, very cool.
But anyway, so today it is... well, technically, we're recording this on New Year's Eve, actually, last day of 2017, but this will be going live in January, and we're going to be talking today about how to stick to your running resolutions.
Yes. Why don't you get us started, Nicole? Because I know we've talked recently about some of our 2018 goals, but what are your resolutions for this year?
Yeah, so I think we touched upon it in our first episode, but one of my big running resolutions is to get back some of my speed. So really start incorporating some speed training into my runs and hopefully trying to snag a new PR in the half marathon. That's my big goal. I also want to do a few more races this year than last year. Last year I only did a handful, and you know, I don't want to be doing a race every single weekend, but you know, maybe one big one a month or every other month would be nice.
Yeah, I am. I'm sharing some similar goals. I also, my running or my race schedule was a little sporadic last year. I guess this year, but I was sick and I wasn't racing as much. So 2018, I'm really looking to race a little bit more often, like you said, maybe once a month. And I want to pick either a new distance to race and train for, which I have yet to decide. Maybe I should do that considering we're in the last day of this year. Also, I kind of want to start trail running. So, yeah, I think that's going to be one of my goals for the year.
That's a good one. There are actually a bunch of trails in my new neighborhood that I have yet to really explore. So maybe I'll do that with you.
Oh, that would be fun. I wish I lived close. See, the problem where I live is like you can only run trails like when there's not 3 feet of snow, which we currently have. So you have to kind of keep your training to like the spring and fall time, obviously the summer. But
that's true. Yeah. And also trail running doesn't really go hand in hand with speed work because you actually have to run a little slower on trails. Since
oh, my God. My trail speed, I feel like a turtle. Like, I'll look down, I'm like, oh, I must have gone 4 miles, and I've gone, like, a mile. But, so, it'll be interesting. Kind of educating myself on trail running is going to be one of my goals. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, what are your plans for, how are you going to help yourself kind of stick to those goals?
So I think the most important thing, and this isn't either, it doesn't matter what your end goal is, but it, well, to be realistic, right? So I'm not going to sign myself up for a 10K trail race without ever preparing for something like that. So I think being realistic, starting out smaller, maybe like a 5K, maybe an easier or a less technical, as they would call it, trail run. Or trail race. So being realistic, but also training for it. So coming up with a schedule has always been really important to me because I'm self-motivated, but as far as like sticking to specific workouts, I need to have them written out in advance so that there's that like question mark of like, what am I doing today? Like, should I do this? Should I do that? Is kind of taken out of the equation. That being said, I think it's important to be flexible too, because there's going to be days that maybe I'll have a trail run scheduled and it's like pouring rain out and it's just not conducive to that. So having a backup plan and being flexible, I think, is also really important to achieving your goals.
Yeah, I think that's all great. I'm actually the same way. I need to write things down. And, you know, even in this digital world that we live in, I have my digital calendar of everything, but I need to write stuff down on a physical calendar.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's nice to just see it right in front of me when I walk into my office every morning or when I walk into my gym. I have it on my little calendar. But there's also a satisfaction in crossing things off.
Yes.
I love being able to just take a pen and check it off my list.
I totally agree. And I think to add on to that, journaling, or like, you know, it doesn't have to be anything crazy, but those running journals that you see, like those Believe journals, when I was in like true training modes, I was doing my best when I had one of those. And I can write and say, like, I did, you know, my 3 mile tempo run today, and this was my speed. And like, I can document what I've done each day so that when I go back, say, to the next training cycle, I can see what did I do? What did I do right? What could I improve upon? Where did I make mistakes? Just so that you can build upon that. So I think, just like you said, the satisfaction of writing it down and even crossing it off and, you know, a check mark or whatever and saying, I did this. It keeps you motivated to the next, you know, part of your goal.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think for anyone out there that has, you know, maybe you just want to start running. Maybe that's your resolution this year. I would say my biggest thing is exactly what Anne-Marie was saying, is to, you know, give yourself that goal race, sign up for it so that you know what you have to work toward, and then make a plan. If you just kind of randomly, if you just say, oh, you know, I'm going to run 3 days a week and, you know, I'll just wake up and if I feel like running, I'll run. You likely, I hate to say it, but you probably won't stick to that.
Right.
But if you give yourself a sort of training plan, if you write things down, if you're that type of person, it'll really help you, you know, wake up and see what you have to do that day, and it'll help you get out there and do it. It'll give you a plan to stick to.
Absolutely. It keeps you accountable. And I think another thing that will help you stick to your goals and to keep you accountable is to find a support system.
Absolutely.
When I first started running, I didn't have those physical running friends. So I found my support system via Instagram. So even if it's a virtual, you know, running community that you're finding other, like I'm searching hashtag like trail runners or something, and just kind of say, posting my trail runs or commenting on theirs, and they're giving me encouragement for going out there and doing it. I think that's important. And then if you can find runners to connect with locally, or you have like group training runs, maybe part of your fear would be like, I don't want to run on the trails alone. That sounds like a dangerous thing. You know, finding a group to do that with so that you can still achieve your goals without it becoming something like scary or frightening, or using it as an excuse not to do it.
Yeah, I think that's great. And actually, to build on that, my first race was the New York City Half, and I didn't have any running buddies at the time or anyone to, you know, hit, you know, train with, I guess. Mm-hmm. But I was running it for charity, and I was, you know, reaching out to a lot of people to help donate to the cause that I was running for. And that really motivated me, knowing that so many people had donated to my cause so that I could run the race.
Right.
That if I didn't train well and if I wasn't able to run the race, I'd be almost letting all of those people down.
Yeah.
So that definitely helped hold me accountable and got me out there for all my training runs and got me, you know, through the race into the finish line. So even if you don't have someone, just like you're saying, someone physically to be there with you, it's great to, you know, tell someone what you're training for, you know, make them, you know, hold you accountable. If you have someone that every time you see them, even if you see them every 2 weeks and they say, how's your training going? You don't right. want to be the person that's like, oh, I gave up on it.
Right. And I think people do end up giving up on it because they're not setting realistic goals. They're saying, I'm going to run a half marathon, when they haven't even run 3 miles. So instead of, you know, it doesn't even have to be a distance. It can just be, I'm going to start running and I'm going to run 3 times per week. And even if two of those three runs are only for 20 minutes, like you're still building upon something you weren't already doing, and you're working towards your goal. And I think, you know, finding that support system, saying like, hey, I did 20 minutes, and somebody's like, yeah, that's amazing. And then, you know, somebody even challenges you and says like, all right, you know, try 25. And you're like, yeah, I can do that. So it could just be baby steps. But having that support system, it helps way more than you think it will. And I know that it's scary to put yourself out there and to put your goals out there. But once you do, you find that other people are in the same boat as you.
Yeah. And I actually think that another great way to motivate yourself and have that support system is actually to hire a running coach.
Yes.
Even if you're not training for a race, even if, like you're saying, you just want to start running a little more, run 3 days a week, or start slowly increasing mileage or time that you're running, having a running coach to, one, make you a plan, because let's be right. honest, making a plan is not always the easiest thing. So having mm-hmm. someone to make that for you and tailor it to your specific goals and your specific, you know, paces and type of running is great. And also that person will be there to check in with you and make sure that you're doing what you're doing and give you any tips and advice along the way. Not to mention, you're probably going to be spending money on a running coach, and that in itself will help motivate you to, you know, make the money worth it.
Yeah, absolutely. Much like when you were saying you raise money for charity, when you're doing something or taking money from somebody or giving money to somebody, that kind of motivates you to stick to your goal. And another thing that I think you talked about last time was really fueling properly, which I don't think a lot of people consider when they're talking about their overall goal. But if you're not fueling the right way, so either on your training run or once you get back, your body might break down and say, I can't do this, when in reality it's just because, you know, you're not fueling it with what it needs to achieve your goal. So, you know, your food choices can throw you off track, and staying hydrated is super important as well. So it's like a whole picture. It's not something as simple as like, I'm going to run 3 miles and like, you know, let's go eat a hamburger.
Although hamburgers are delicious.
Yeah, they are.
I also think giving yourself some sort of goal gift. I love giving myself goal gifts where I say, you know, if I stick to my running plan for the entire month, then I can get this little gift for myself, whether it's a massage or a new, you know, notebook to jot things down in, or even a new piece of running gear. If I need new shoes or a new sports bra or something like that, that's a great way to kind of motivate yourself too. There are all kinds of ways you can do that. You can, you know, after every run, put a little money aside, like maybe put a dollar aside for every mile right. that you ran.
Oh yeah.
And use that money toward something nice for yourself.
Yeah. I think I did that at first just because like when I first started running, I had like maybe a pair of running shoes and like, I think I was running in like cotton yoga pants and, you know, cotton tank tops or t-shirts, but slowly but surely when I was getting into it and I had really dedicated myself to achieving, you know, my goal, I was like, all right, I deserve to have, you know, compression tights and I deserve to have better running socks, or, you know, just because you are spending so much of your time trying to achieve it, having those pieces of gear makes a difference. Yeah. And it also rewards you and motivates you to continue going. So
absolutely. And I know for those of you that would like to have a running buddy and maybe don't know where to even go about finding one, maybe none of your friends are into running, maybe your spouse isn't into running. But
mine
isn't. You want, yeah, mine's not either. I've tried and failed, but,
yeah. Yep.
But if you want to find someone to kind of get out there with, you know, to say, you know, let's meet at 7 o'clock for a run. And if you think that would help you get out of bed and get those miles in, then go on, you know, meetup.com and see if there's a running group around or see if you can start one. Go through your Instagram and find people that are using, you know, if I live in Austin, so I might want to look up like Austin Runner as a hashtag
right.
and see if there's anyone around that you might want to meet up with and start running with.
Yeah. Most communities, like running communities, do have their own hat. I think we're like 3 Run 5 here, or like Run the Cubes or whatever it is. And then something else that you touched upon, that now I'm totally having a moment of like, I can't remember. I swear I haven't drank that much wine yet. But I think it's super important to just stay motivated. Oh, I knew what I was going to say. Like you said, having that running group, like just starting one, I did that where I live. Like Syracuse was too far for me to drive to like meet up with people. So I actually started a small running club and it was like maybe 2 of us at one time, but it motivated them to get out there and it motivated me. That's super important. Just to have a buddy to say like, let's do this, because you're not going to, if you've already committed to it, you're less likely to bail on them.
Right.
Even if you want to. Yeah.
And you know, another small thing that I do, you know, sometimes it's hard to motivate myself to get out for a long run, especially now that it's winter and it's cold. And I know that I'm saying this to you, Anne-Marie, when you have 3 feet of snow outside and it's frigid in Syracuse and cold in Austin is like, you know, 50 degrees. But but I tell my fiance the day before, like tomorrow I have to do my long run.
Right.
And I have to wake up and I have to do it and don't let me not do it.
Right.
And I wake up and, you know, I'm having breakfast and almost always he's like, are you going to do your long run? And I'm like, ugh.
See, that's good. That's awesome. Cause I will do the same thing and I'll like speak it into existence. And I'm like, well, today I'm going to do this and tomorrow I'm going to run around this time. And my husband's always like, just do it. You don't need my permission. I'm like, I'm speaking it into existence to hold myself accountable. Stop. Stop making me feel bad. But I do the same thing. Like I kind of say it out loud just to hold myself accountable. Like I've already said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
And another thing that I've done in the past, it depends, I guess, on what the temperature is like outside, but I'll sometimes like sleep in my running clothes. So
great.
Like, no, I know that sounds really weird, and I've said it out loud or maybe like on the blog to people before. They're like, you literally sleep in your running clothes. Like, I don't mind sleeping in a sports bra. So if I have like a sports bra and a tank top on and like all I need to do is like put on my leggings, or if it's like really cold out, like, and I'm already wearing them, I just literally have to put on like a pair of, you know, socks, my shoes, put my hair in a bun and get out the door.
Yep.
So it just kind of is that, especially when it's cold out, that less one less thing you have to think about at, you know, 5 a.m.
Yeah, absolutely. And it saves you time.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of being up at 5 a.m., like because I have kids, my schedule, like I can't just run during the middle of the day. So a lot of the times I'm up super early, and in order to achieve my goals, I have to make that time in the morning. And I will say that I prefer getting it done and over with, and I feel much more accomplished, and it helps my day be more productive getting it out of the way first. So
I'm exactly the same way, and I have the complete opposite kind of schedule as you. I freelance, so I kind of make my own schedule, but I like waking up in the morning when Will gets up, I get up, and mm-hmm. getting my run in or workout or whatever it is that I'm doing that day first thing. Not only because if I don't do it first thing, I know I won't do it later,
right.
but also because it gives me energy for the day. And yes. like you said, I feel so accomplished, and I just feel ready to get everything else done. And I don't have my workout looming over me. You know, I can work out, right. I can shower, I can eat, and then I'm ready.
Yeah. It sets the tone for the day. It makes you more productive. It gives you more energy. And then you're not like sitting there like, well, God, I got to go do this, and I don't want to do it now because I'm really hungry and I'd rather eat lunch, which is how I get. I am always thinking about food. So
as any runner is, I feel like.
Yeah, for
but
sure.
Yeah, I mean, I know not everybody is a morning person. And if you have the schedule that allows you to go for a run or a workout during lunch, or go for a run or a workout after work, that's amazing. But just make that, schedule the time and make it a priority. Don't make it a, well, if I have time today, I might, because you won't.
Yeah. Anytime if you really want to get something done, you can usually make it happen. Obviously there's instances like being sick or like an emergency with your kid or something different. But like you're saying, once you've scheduled it in, it's no different than you scheduling in a business meeting. Like, treat it like it's part of your, you don't want it to feel like a job, but treat it like it's a priority. Yeah. It's something that you have to get done and you want to get done. So, you know, and making that time for yourself, don't feel guilty about it. I know that's it's a mom thing. Well, I could be doing this. I could be folding laundry. I could be, you know, whatever, but making time for yourself is just as important.
Yes. And you know, another thing, and this will probably be my last piece of advice, and then we yep. can kind of wrap up, summarize all of our tips. But
yep.
One thing I've started doing is on my long runs, you know, when I'm not trying to push for time and I can just kind of listen to what I want to listen to, I really like listening to audiobooks. And
yes.
I use my long runs as time to listen. So that helps motivate me to get out the door, because I'm like, oh, I want to know, you know, what's happening in my mm-hmm. book. I want to finish it. You know, I put it on, I listen to a few chapters, and, you know, then I have something to kind of motivate me and something to entertain me while I'm out on my runs right. if I'm running alone.
Yeah, it helps pass the time and it gives you something to look forward to for sure.
Exactly.
So to summarize, I think our tips, or at least my first tip, was like, be realistic. Like we said, schedule it in, find an accountability partner or some sort of support community. Make sure that you're fueling properly so that you are rested and have enough energy to actually do it. And what other things did we say?
Give yourself a goal gift for yes, sticking to your guns. If you don't have an accountability partner, some sort of accountability tool, whether it's a running coach, or just telling your roommate or your husband or your partner or your friend that you're going for a run, and giving yourself something to look forward to on your runs, whether it's a podcast like this one, hint, uh-huh. hint. an audio book, maybe it's even a type of fuel that you really enjoy that you only get to have during your runs. I actually really right. like my little chews that I use, and I'm sure yes. we'll talk about our favorite running fuel at some point, but you know, little treats along the way. Also, I've started doing, after long runs, I let myself have a nice nice Epsom bath soak, which is just really yes. enjoyable. That's another little treat that I give myself if I accomplish my long run.
Yeah, recovering, not to prolong this, but recovery is, like fueling, is essential to reaching your goals. So taking that day off during your training schedule, your training week, and actually like recovering after rolling out, taking a bath, those are all imperative as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, cool. Well, thank you guys for joining us. We'd love to hear what your resolutions are. So send us messages, send us emails. Also send us what wine you're drinking. If you have any favorites, we love trying new wine. I typically won't spend more than like $20. $20 right. is super expensive to me for wine. usually it's like $10 or under, but I will splurge every now and then for a $15 bottle.
Wow.
Send us your favorites so that we can try them. And we will be back in a few weeks with our tips for cold weather running.
Ooh, yes. I have a few.
I'm sure you do. So we will catch you guys in a few weeks.
Thanks, guys.
Be sure to check out the show notes for everything we chatted about today. And for more from me, Nicole, check out fitfulfocus.com. And from Anne-Marie at thefitfoodiemama.com. And for any questions, you can email us at runnerswhowine, that's wine like the beverage, at gmail.com.